Good morning, Chelvest and Caldicott and Chelston Rise. It's Monday the 20th of April and we're entering our fifth week of lockdown. This is Adrian Dale with a daily podcast for the village. So thank you all to the people who gave me more information after yesterday's podcast about the second 305th memorial in the village. Tina Hackett sent me a photograph of a painting she'd purchased many years ago of the hangar on the airfield. And she also had a spooky story to share of an old man waving from the control tower many years after the airfield ceased operations. I'd love to have any photographs of the old hangar if anyone has any, and more stories, please. H called me too. He was particularly worried by the idea that Northamptonshire County Council might be able to demolish our memorial for road widening. He pointed out that this was effectively blessed and consecrated ground, and this cannot be allowed under any circumstances. I was able to reassure him with a postscript that I didn't have time to talk about yesterday. Although it was unlikely that the road would be widened, the cash-strapped Northamptonshire County Council eventually did wake up to the fact that they effectively owned several building plots in the centre of a very desirable village. So they decided to offer the land on which the memorial stands for sale. The parish council was onto this immediately. Our council still held some reserves from the original donations, kept back to maintain the memorial in perpetuity. Mark Hunter was able to conclude a deal with Northamptonshire County Council and we purchased the lands from them. So folks, our memorial now stands on parish land. We've secured it forever. So H, you can stop worrying. But isn't it lovely that we care so much? Now in the course of the conversation with H, I found out a few more interesting facts. The cottage next to the pub where Ella lives, number one, the Green, was actually part of a row of cottages which extended out as far as the road opposite Foot Lane. These cottages were demolished around the time H was born. But in the 1890s, the land around the memorial was known as Reading Room Yard, as this was the location of the parish reading room, which was part of the 1919 estate sale by the then Lord of the Manor. When this site was cleared, it became the location of the road mender's hut, effectively my predecessor as lengthman. His job was to keep all the roads and footways in Chelvest and cum Caldicott in good order. Now, as you know, H is always full of good stories, and I've agreed to meet with him after the lockdown so that we can record them all. Adrian, he said, you better get a move on. I ain't getting any younger, and I'm effectively in the waiting room already. You never did capture Noel's stories before he died. H has got a good point here, so I'm resigned to spending the winter afternoons this year in his kitchen, drinking his damson gin whilst recording him. The things I have to do for this village, what a sacrifice I make. As a result of yesterday's podcast, I also made contact with Father Grant Brockhouse, one of Michelle's predecessors. Grant was our vicar from 1998 to 2014 before he retired. Now, as you know, I'm not a great churchgoer, at all, in fact. But Grant and I worked closely together for the whole of his incumbency, and he was also one of the executors of Michael Folger's will with Mark Hunter and I. Grant now lives almost in the shadow of the cathedral in Peterborough, but he's followed how the parish is coping with the emergency. When Grant came to the parish in 1998, the bishop had asked his predecessor, Eric Buchanan, to prepare the church for closure, as the regular congregation had fallen to 6 people a week. The church was clearly no longer part of village life. Contrast that with the situation now. Even those that don't go to church meet at the coffee and cake sessions each month. Snowdrop Weekend draws in over 1,000 people. And now the daily podcasts and weekly online services draw in hundreds of people. The world turns full circle. All we need now is for Naomi to reopen the pub and Rachel to declare the village hall open and we can all get back to normal. But I ask you, what will the new normal be? During this emergency, connections have been made that I wouldn't ever have thought possible before. Yesterday, I did very little except walk that great big hound that Johnny has entrusted us with, and yet our village group was buzzing with comments, questions, jokes, and offers. My van run tomorrow morning will take me all over the village, picking up and delivering. It's a shame it takes an emergency to pull a community together, but then again, sometimes that's what's needed to make you appreciate exactly what we've got already. There is talk of the lockdown being gradually eased over the next 3 weeks. If it is, I hope we'll all get to meet, because I, for one, don't want to go back to all the old ways. I really like this new community. I really hope you do too and want to keep this community spirit going. We've come a long way together and it would be a shame to lose it now. Thank you.